from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Guys, this weekend ain't about frickin' stocks and bonds. It's about football. It's about getting your ass up off of your lazy ass, yelling for your team, and saying, let's go, Bulls! Damn it!
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
And for the love of God, people, quit doing the frickin' wave. Are you kidding me? The wave? Jesus. Nobody does the wave anymore. Yeah, the Billy Bobs do it in NASCAR at the racetrack because there's nothing else to do there except meow, 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 and watch the damn cars go in circles and wait for a wreck.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Damn it, son. Do y'all hear me?
The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Hour number two, Dirt and Sprague here on 1080 The Fan, the Odyssey app, 99.5 HD2, and YouTube. Good morning, YouTube. We love you. It is a NBA draft edition. Dirt and Sprague here, wired on our coffee. Our caffeine's flowing through our veins, and we have a lot to talk about today.
That we do.
Mike Richmond's going to join us, Locked On Blazers, at 7:30. I know we tweeted Ben Golliver last night, so for those tuning in for the first time, hello, good morning. Ben Golliver had a work thing pop up, and he texted me extremely late last night to let me know. He apologizes. We will get Ben Golliver on. We're going to do a make good with Ben Golliver, but we will not have him on today. Would have been perfect with that Knicks stuff plus the draft.
It would. There's a lot going on.
But we will. Ben Golliver's got some work. We get it. He works for the Washington Post. We'll catch up with him. I want to give you guys a quick heads up. The Fan will be live at 10 Barrel today, starting at noon with Danny and Dusty for the NBA draft. Yes, thank you, ladies. Calm down.
Chicks dig them.
We want to remind you to sign up for the 1080 The Fan 10th Annual Fan Golf Classic brought to you by Autotown GMC, July 11th on a Thursday, live out at Langdon Farms. We will all be out there. We will not be doing radio shows. We were told the other day, no radio shows for us.
We're just going to hang out. We're going to drive around in carts all day.
We are. And if you want Dirt to hit a good wedge shot,
you got it, buddy.
Highly recommend doing it. If you want me to hit a wedge shot, that might get thinned out. I'm sorry. But we'll be driving around, hanging out. Popping in and out of the sixth hole par three brought to you by Doers. You can warm up at the Michelob Ultra driving range. You get food from Victor Rico's and Matt's Barbecue. It's going to be a good time. 1080thefan.com for your foursome.
Hell yeah.
And this is maybe the most important thing in this moment to announce. The Fan Merch Locker, which you've heard commercials about many a time, has been updated. And on it, very important, I want to get some people aware of it. we have got a special Mike Lynch Swinge t-shirt on the Fan merch locker. You can go shop for all the other merch that's up there, but the Mike Lynch shirt is specifically one I want to cite. Mike Lynch, our former coworker here, he was here for many, many years. Very good dude. Unfortunately, had something pop up for him medically. You can go find it at his Twitter account, MikeLynch27. He has a GoFundMe attached to it, and the proceeds will be going to the GoFundMe. So if you want to support Mike and the tough journey he's been on that he has talked about on Twitter, you can go to 1080 Fans Merch Locker. That t-shirt helps Mike and his family. And so I just wanted to let you guys know the Swinge t-shirt is up. It's a little Yankee homage with the pinstripes.
As it should be for a diehard Yankee fan.
And I will be purchasing one and supporting our good friend Mike Lynch. But it is up at the Fan Merch Locker.
It's really cool. Go check it out. And we worked with Mike, and our boss was in contact with him about what kind of design he would want, and would, you know, how does Swinge sound. And he loved the idea of it, where he famously messed up the code, the locker code word or whatever we used to do, and spelled it with a J instead of a G. So it's a funny play on that for inside, you know, inside joke for listeners who remember that moment. It's really cool. Awesome t-shirt. All the other show ones are there. But go help out Mike, because all the money goes towards his GoFundMe.
Never forget that moment. And also the fact that Swag kind of just skated by, because he spelled drum incorrectly after that happened.
He did.
Drum.
Mike always...
That guy.
He always had to wear that one. Swag was able to kind of evade the criticism there. Nobody really makes jokes about that anymore.
Nobody says derm jokes about drum.
What, do we get a Swag derm shirt?
It'd be kind of funny. But Mike's win shirt is up. Loaded second hour of the show. Let's dive in. Let's just go all the way deep.
Let's do it.
Blazers on the clock at 7. I have a list of the players that I would love for them to take. Where are you guys at?
You have a list of players you would love for them to take.
Love.
Like capital L, capital O, capital V, capital E.
L-O-V-E.
You're loving it.
I'm in love.
Yeah. Okay.
I have one player that's probably a little higher than the rest. Yes, I have a list of players.
I have mainly a list of guys who I don't want them to take. I have the opposite list.
Okay.
A lot of guys who I'm like, yeah, sure, what the hell, take a flyer, he's a wing. I'm cool with that. Great. I have no clue how he's going to be. Anybody under 6'4", out on them, and I'm anti that draft. Right. And anybody over 7'4". Anybody over 7'4" and okay, under 6'4", I'm out, and
we're
I'm coming in angry tomorrow.
7'1", 7'2"?
7'1", 7'2" is fine. 7'5", right, I'm out. That's weird. It's freakish. Nobody should be that tall, and it's not going to work in the NBA.
Technically, Zach Edey measured at 7'3¾".
Okay, that's 7'2½" and over, out. 7'3", out. 7'1", totally fine.
Technically, Donovan Klingon is 7'2½", so...
Is 7'2¾", final answer.
Okay. Is there anyone...
Yeah.
...that you would be excited, enthusiastic about Portland packaging 7 and 14 to move up to...
No.
...at 1, 2, or 3.
That seems like a very steep price in a draft. In this draft,
no.
Next okay. year's draft, it wouldn't be available. But like this year, that the only player that would be for is Alex Saar.
Yeah, if you do that to go get Klingon at 3, I'm out on that move. That's, again,
you're out on that
turf.
Move.
To move up to get him at 3, yes. Using both of your bullets to go get another white center like we did with Zach Collins.
Well, this is not, this is not Zach Collins. This guy started for a national championship team. He wasn't the sixth man on Gonzaga when the general manager made up a story so of a game he wasn't
also,
even
isn't
at.
Isn't he 5 years older than Collins was when the Blazers
So we're like, definitive, he's going to be better than Zach Collins?
You know
definitive
what?
Take?
F you.
Definitive. It's done. It's a done deal.
I'm calling you a hoe.
It's over. He's definitely going to be better than Zach Collins. We're certain of that.
Well, nothing's definite. It's the draft, for God's sake.
I just, dude, this draft sucks. I'm not using two bullets to go get one player. I'm just not. I'm taking two flyers. If you want to... Yeah, I mean, I get it. Like, Saar would be the only one that would intrigue me in some way, shape, or form. But even then, it's still a major question mark, and I think I would rather take two flyers on guys, because you might end up having the best player in this draft be the 17th overall pick. Nobody knows how it's going to play out.
Could be a Giannis draft.
It could be a Giannis draft. Yeah. This is the draft that's been compared to the Anthony Bennett draft. That's how bad it's supposed to be, and Giannis went in that draft famously, 14th overall, 15th overall. So I'd rather take two cracks at it, two bites at the apple, instead of using your ammunition to go get somebody who, when they're all question marks, then you only get one question question mark instead of two.
Yeah, the two bullets for one is one we haven't seen, and maybe this is a credit to the Crone Zone of any chatter, Portland being interested in doing that. Have they talked to Houston? Reportedly they have, but trading the two for the one, and then the report today is that Houston might be after KD. I'm not sure that those two picks matter to Houston.
No.
So that doesn't really track. There is intel coming out from Jonathan Wasserman of The Athletic. Bleacher Report. Sorry, I confused his company. That Detroit and Charlotte are interested in trading back. Memphis reportedly loves Donovan Clingan and wants in on the Kling train. And so Detroit or Charlotte, 5 or 6, the two picks before Portland, they might be willing to move back.
Mm-hmm.
So Memphis, who is at 9, who doesn't really have a center right now, can go get a Donovan Clingan. Gavoni's latest mock has us getting Clingan again.
It's the same mock as yesterday.
With a caveat of many people don't think he's going to be there. And that's kind of been my thing. That's why I told Nimick I wouldn't make a bet on Clingan with Portland unless some trade happens where they swap with Detroit. It doesn't feel like Klingon's falling to 7. Now, Portland moving up to 5, that's different. That's not the same thing. If Portland stays at 7, I don't think Donovan Klingon will be there. I've come to my conclusion, my take, and it could age like sour milk on a hot summer's day.
It's a beautiful thing about the draft.
I know who I want. I want this guy a little more than the other players. I like some of the other players. I want Dalton Connect. I've been on that for a while. I've come to the conclusion, my emotions. Dalton Connect is an adult. He's a bucket getter.
He's a dog.
He is a dog. And he's got good size. He's 6'6" and a half, 6'7".
Yes, he does. He fits my criteria.
With a 6'9 wingspan. And you know what? You know what else he can do? He could shoot.
He can shoot.
This
can
team shoot. Was the worst team in the league at shooting. For all this, like, you need to take a big swing on a guy. And I'm okay with them doing that, too.
Mm-hmm.
If they take this Salone kid, and I've heard his name 3 different ways in the last 2 days, so like at this point, I'm going to have to wait for him to say it.
Let's just see if he gets drafted by Portland, then we'll learn his name.
But if they do that, then okay. I see what you're doing. But, like, I like the idea of having a shooter. I like having the idea of a wing guy that can work with multiple lineups and shot, you know, 40% from 3. We don't have people that can shoot.
No.
And he's not afraid in the most important moments in clutch time to take those shots.
He had to take them all last year.
Yep.
So I think I've landed. I like a lot of the prospects. I think the one I like the most that I'd love to see today, Dalton Connect.
Yeah, I have no problem. He fits into my criteria of exactly what I want in this draft. And I'm just basing this basically off of what Joe Cronin has said. We have an open for NBA draft day and or a promo, and it's Joe Cronin saying what? What do we need? We need length, we need versatility, and we need shooting. That's what he continues to tell me. We need to get better defensively. We need guys that can knock down shots. So basically wings who are 3 and D, that's what we're trying to identify. And I've heard that now for 3 years, and they have added very little of that. We've added randomly sized power forwards that aren't quite big enough, but not quite small enough to be a wing. So they're kind of in that tweener range, and we've added more guards. That's exactly what we've done.
We also have a lot of vets on this roster.
We do. So I want length, I want versatility, I want defense, and I want shooting. I'm not going to come in outside of a couple of players and spew a bunch of hot takes tomorrow, mm-hmm. because who the hell knows? Dalton Connect going at 7 to Portland, I would be completely fine with that. His resume was great in college. I love the interview we did with Tennessee. He provides a specific need that fits what this team needs in terms of shooting. So that checks a lot of boxes for me. He doesn't quite give you the versatility and defense that maybe some of the other wings could, but his shooting can probably overcome that. And so that's why I'm fine with that pick. As long as Joe Cronin goes out tonight and does what he has been saying he should do for 3 years now, I'm going to be perfectly fine with this draft. And that's length, versatility, and wings, because they are the commodity that you cannot find in free agency that are very hard to trade for. Everybody wants athletic wings in the NBA right now, and they're not getting traded. And if you want to trade for one, what did Mikal Bridges go for? 4 or 5 first-round picks and pick swaps. That's what it takes to go get one in the trade market, and he's a 19-point-per-game small forward. So go find a wing who you can plug into your starting lineup, and if one of them fits and hits, that's perfect. You have hit a home run with this draft.
Do you guys have any players out there that you ideally would love to see Portland get? Like, being realistic, saying they stay at 7, you can share your thoughts at the Vancouver Ford text line, 503-864-6326. They shoot right before, during, and after the sale. Visit them at VancouverFord.com. Dirt, you said something there that piques my interest in regards to what today is. We'll talk about the draft with Mike Richmond at 7:30. Dirt and Sprague back with more on 1080 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Did you see that SVP Stuart Scott's daughter's thing on SportsCenter yesterday?
I did not, no.
Whoa.
Was it the anniversary of him passing away, or was there
a 10th anniversary of his ESPY speech?
Oh, of his ESPY speech.
So he brought both his daughters on, who are, like, they're grown up.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, they're probably mid-20s now, right? If I remember correctly,
I think they were kind 20s.
Of like teenagers, yeah.
And he basically just announced that all the money they raised for the Jimmy V Foundation are going to go to Stuart Scott's Cancer Research Foundation fund.
Awesome. Very cool.
And somebody is matching up to $75,000. So if they get to 75, somebody's going to match that. They'll get to 150. Very emotional moment. As a father of two daughters, and this doesn't have to apply to just having daughters. I think if you have sons, just as a parent, you become far more emotional and, like,
sure.
At the drop of a hat, you're crying about a rental car commercial, right? Like, Grandpa can't make it home for Christmas. Yeah. Oh, how sad. Fred Meyer's commercials with cartoon characters have made me cry.
Yeah.
This one.
Gotcha.
Be very alone and ready to weep because Scott Van Pelt loses at the end. And
Him cry, seeing other people cry sometimes makes you cry.
It makes you
more
cry.
Emotional.
Right, yeah.
I had this like 2 weekends ago. You guys don't listen to country, but Luke Combs is one of the best like artists out there right now. Love Luke Combs. He came out with an album for Father's Day because he is a new father about his kid. And he's got all these songs about father sons and the relationships and all that. And I was listening to it on my way to a golf round early on a Saturday morning. I was like, that's right, a new album, and I just turned it on my way, and I was like 4 minutes into the first song, just like,
miss my son.
As you're like driving, I can't recover from this. I gotta go play 18 holes, man.
I love that. I miss my son. I'm going to be gone for 7 hours, Colford.
I'm going to get a beer afterwards, and then I'll be home.
You know who's not emotional, doesn't strike me as emotional? Swag.
So, no.
Like, he's not the a one parent that, like, this didn't hit
Dude,
him.
I could not stop the tears flowing at Paxton's
at the graduation.
Well, that's, you know, that's a big monumental moment. You did what you needed to do as a parent. Got him to that spot.
It was on Father's Day. It was, yeah.
That's even better, too. Yeah, when you tie it into a holiday as well and you're celebrating that.
Swag, I'm talking about these random bursts of emotions that I'm just like.
I am much more susceptible to them these days than I was.
As you're getting older?
You know, 5, 10, 20 years ago.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, I can't imagine how much of a wreck.
But I had
be
no
your
power
age.
Last night to watch
yeah,
anything.
Didn't have any access to SportsCenter.
it's a really good moment. ESPN tweeted it out. It is it is really a good emotional moment. We're talking the draft, sidebar here. The NBA draft, Screamin' A. Smith is on TV, screaming about the Knicks. Who should you take? But it's going to be a weird one. It really is going to be a weird one. We had one of our listeners say, after all the rambling about wings and shooting, get ready for Portland to trade up for Reed Shepard.
I'm out, dude. I'm out. If you draft a guard, I'm out.
I think I'm out on Bouzelis.
Yeah, I don't even know if he'll be there.
Matas?
But you're out on
Matas?
Mattis.
Now, why are we out on Mattis? What do we like about Mattis?
First of all, he's a G League Unite guy.
Yes, he is.
Those have not fared well, and I know we have one.
Yeah,
but
so was Holland.
So was Ron Holland.
I'm out on him, too.
Yeah. Okay.
They're two comps. High-end RJ Barrett could be Kevin Knox. And I want nothing to do with that. I saw Kevin Knox drafted, and I remember saying out loud, ugh, I don't know about that.
Hey, he's 6'10", man. I'm cool with it. He's under 7'2 and three quarters and over 6'4". I'm fine with it.
I also heard Bouzelis dribbles like Cam Reddish. I actually saw that as a Blazer fan. No, thank you.
Remember when that was a thing? Hey, we got Cam Reddish.
I do. He's going to revitalize his career.
Lottery pick.
Do you have one, though, that like stands out amongst others, or is it just simply for you? Don't do the obvious Blazer thing and take the guard.
Don't be stupid. That's my only thing. As long as you're not stupid tonight, I'm okay. I have a really hard time with any draft, let alone a draft like this, circling and saying yay or nay to a certain player.
Like,
right?
I came around on Jacoby Walter at 14. Would you be mad at that? Because he's about 6'5".
My only follow-up to that is, are you trading Anfernee Simons? Because we talked to a guy from Baylor who said he profiles more as a guard in the NBA.
Yes.
And if you're trading Anfernee Simons and Malcolm Brogdon, I'm okay with that at 14 because of his length and his ability to play defense and his shooting and what he could turn into. But if you're not trading Anfernee, that doesn't work. He's not going to play. There's a logjam. So I start circling guys. Bouzelis, I'd be fine with, although I don't think he's going to be there at 7. Connect, I'd be cool with. Also, don't know if he'll be there at 7.
I don't either, yeah.
Klingon might fall at that point.
Yeah,
sure, take a flyer, but he might not be there either. The Saloon kid out of France, he's a project, but I'm totally fine with that. Cody Williams out of Colorado, I'm cool with it. I saw him play. I think there's a lot of upside there, and he comes from an NBA family.
Yep.
If you want to go further down the list and you end up with a guy like Ron Holland, who, yes, I know is from the G League Ignite, but one of those high-ceiling kind of players. Like,
he can't shoot.
All of these guys I'm fine with. I get it. Neither could Scoot Henderson, and we took him with the third pick, and he's a guard. So who the hell cares, right? That was a third overall pick in a good draft. Dude can't shoot. He still can't shoot. He's never going to be able to shoot.
Whoa,
and we took him with the third overall pick in the draft.
Yo.
And he's going to be like a career 26% three-point shooter.
Why are you?
So clearly, that's not a requirement for drafting players because we used the third pick on somebody who can't shoot last year.
You didn't need to involve our beloved Scoot.
I digress.
You could have just said, okay, but he's really athletic.
If you take one guy that you feel a little more set in terms of, hey, this guy can play and we feel good about it, like a Connect, I think, is that example.
Yeah.
And then you take with the other pick maybe a, hey, Ron Holland's an absolute flyer. Let's see how it works out. Or the Saloon kid, he's probably not going to be there 14, but you get my point.
What if
they
go Topic?
No. No.
He's going to be out for the year, but...
No.
No?
No, I'm out on Topic.
Would you rather have Topic or Edie?
Oh, God.
Come on.
Oh,
really?
God.
Zach Edie, because you know what?
I'll go Edie. I'll go Edie at that situation.
I'm slamming my button, my invisible Drew.
I don't want another Haas and Jin, all right?
This is my Drew Timmy button. I'm hitting it. I'll make another bet with you.
I don't want another Taco Fall, all right? We don't need Taco Fall.
He is not Taco Fall. Can you give the man some respect?
We don't. If we want a 7-5 weird dude, go get Paul Ben.
Correct me if I'm wrong.
Then you got guys
Zach
in a John Wick movie.
Two-time John Wooden Award winning National Player of the Year.
You know who else won it two times? Bill Walton.
Thank you.
Guy named Lou Alcindor.
Yeah.
prior to being Kareem.
Sure. Should we now look up how all those guys have fared in the NBA? Do you want me to do that?
Yeah, please look up Bill Walton and how he did.
No, the guys who have won the Naismith Player of the Year and how their NBA careers. Because it's a guarantee that they're going to be great in the NBA, right?
Two.
Okay, so you guys are both on it. Zach Edey, legit NBA player.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
The Zach Edey train, baby.
Okay.
He's got good hands.
I'm going to file this one away for a couple of years. We'll see how it goes.
You got to give it 4 or 5 years.
4 or 5 years. Okay. We're still waiting for the Drew Timmy bet payoff because he's going to be a legit NBA player.
I gave that up.
He's going to be a legit NBA player,
hold on.
Right?
That's not the same thing. It's slightly different.
How is it slightly different?
First of all, I'll waive it. Drew Timmy, not an NBA
Drew
player.
Timmy was
not
a an 6 NBA foot player. 8 center. Yeah. What do you want? Yeah.
That was a
Zach
flyer.
Zach Edey, 7'5", and he can't move.
Drew Timmy.
In a modern NBA that requires movement.
Drew Timmy. The bet was that Drew Timmy would be an NBA player, not Drew Timmy is a top 15 prospect. It's a different thing.
Okay.
I think Zach Edey will have a good career.
Okay. How do you label Zach Edey with a good career?
With my eyes.
Because he's just in the NBA for 9 years? Is that he have to accomplish anything to be a good NBA career?
I think we know what a good career is.
Okay. So, qualifiers? Got comps or whatever, ceilings, floors. Who is Zach Edey being compared to? That's what I'm curious about.
George Mirosan, Sean Bradley.
Really?
Maybe Let's take a look at the last couple of Naismith Player of the Year Award winners. Obi Toppin?
No.
Obi Toppin?
Two times.
Think you'll find a guy named Ralph
Why
Simpson
did he come back
in
if he would have left for the NBA last year? He didn't leave for the NBA because he's not an NBA prospect. Luka Garza was the Player of the Year.
Not two times.
No?
Okay. Former Blazer Luka Garza.
Yeah, Blazer legend. Now a T-Wolf legend.
Jimmer Fredette, Evan Turner, Doug McDermott, Trey Burke, Frank Kaminsky, Buddy Hield,
you know
Frank Mason. I don't even know who the hell Frank Mason is.
Two times.
All of these guys.
Frank Mason, Wisconsin?
I don't know.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
You mean, okay.
Yeah.
I'm asking.
Yeah. Yeah.
Was he?
You want me to keep going? I have no clue.
No, it didn't list the school.
First of all,
no.
You're not playing the game, and you're still playing your own game.
I am playing my own game. Frank Mason was he's Kansas.
We were close.
Naismith Player of the Year. Come on, how do we not take that guy?
One of those white states.
This doesn't need to turn into a debate about Edey. You guys like Edey. I don't like Edey. I don't think they're going to take him, but we'll wait and see.
I don't know if he'll be there at 14.
He might not.
People might trade up for him.
They could. He could be the number one overall pick.
Ow.
How do you not? He's two-time player of the year. How do we not jump at that?
Does it feel like right now the Hawks don't know who they're going to take and they have the number
that
one
That was
pick?
Certainly what Windhorst was purporting last night.
It's probably Ricochet, though, right? If you were to gamble on, I think
I don't know. The question is,
Sar didn't work out for him.
He doesn't want to be there.
How do you take him if you don't even get a workout with
the question is, who's calling the shots at Atlanta? That's really the question.
I don't know what Atlanta's doing.
Is it the GM? Is it who knows?
Yeah, I don't. Is it Snyder?
Jamie Gertz, maybe? I don't know.
I don't know what they're doing in Atlanta. They're a weird team.
Well, yeah.
They're going to unpack pieces this offseason.
What are you doing with Trey?
Yeah. Probably trading him. But is DeAndre Hunter staying?
I don't know.
I don't either.
Does our boy Mike G. Rich know?
You know what? Let's find out. Mike Richmond, Locked On Blazers podcast. We got a Statter story. We'll get to it at 8:15.
We do.
I'm going to try to do a draft edition. I haven't gotten it.
I wasn't sure if we were going to do one today, so I got to go find a stat and a story.
We can do it. We'll figure it out.
I got a draft nugget in mind.
Oh, do you?
I do.
Mike Richmond, what does he hope or think the Blazers will do? How crazy will this draft be in his estimation? Mike Richmond, Locked On Blazers, joins us, Daily Ticker, next on The Fan.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents The Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague visit with the insiders that are covering the stories you've heard about and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague is poured by Pelican Brewing. Be ready for your next afternoon vacation with Beak Breaker Tropical. Pelican Brewing, born at the beach.
All right, Daily Ticker time, brought to you on The Fan, as always, by Pelican Brewing Company. Visit pelicanbrewing.com for more details on locations, events, award-winning beers, independently brewed since 1996. Pelican Brewing, born at the beach. We're still yelling at each other about Zach Edey. That's the beauty of NBA Draft Day. Can he or can he not be Rick Smits is the new question that is being asked.
Hey, Dirk, can you touch my forehead? I think I've got Edey fever.
You got Edey fever over there?
I got a case of Edey fever.
I hate when you two dumbasses team up on a bad idea to try and piss me off, because you know it gets me going, and I know exactly what you're doing right now.
Gang banging you with Edey.
And I'm not not taking the bait anymore. That 7'5" guy doesn't come anywhere near my NBA team. I'm happy. Let's talk to Mike Richmond, the host of the Locked On Blazers daily podcast about the Portland Trail Blazers. Yes, he does one every single day. He's the hardest working man in media because that's not an easy thing to do. At Mike G. Rich on Twitter. Go give him a follow. Mike Richmond, Zach Edey to the Blazers at number 7 overall gets what reaction from you?
Woof.
He's a dog. That's why he said woof.
I bet Zach Edey will be a totally reasonable NBA player in the right situations, and that will also be his ceiling, is that he'll be a reasonable NBA player in the right situations.
Perfect. You didn't need to say wolf.
Absolutely
that did not help.
Perfect way to start this segment. I love it. How you feeling, Richmond? We're going in. We're a couple hours away. There's so much excitement.
A couple hours.
A lot of pessimism. I know it's early in the morning.
12 hours away.
I feel like I've already been awake for 12 hours.
I have a full work day ahead of me before the draft starts. So, yeah, in any case, it's really close.
He's at a car shop right now, like, doing this hit.
Oh, is he really?
Yeah, he's getting his car worked
on. Let's go. We got to get things done before the draft. How are we feeling, Richmond? Are we excited? Is there a nervous energy? Are they going to screw this up? What's the feeling over there at Locked On Blazers?
I think it's pretty exciting just because it's so unknown. I feel like most drafts, you're like, well, you know, these are the three guys in their range, and they'll end up with one of these three guys, and here are my thoughts on them, and all that. But this is so wide open. Like, they could really – there's probably – you know, there's not maybe 10 names, but it's a really, really wide swath they could choose from, and they could pretty much go any direction other than maybe point guard. I think it's pretty fun. I think the uncertainty makes some people anxious, but I, from my perspective, I think it's pretty exciting.
I don't think it's much of a hot take to say this. I know a lot of people have crapped on this draft, and you know their lottery odds not go their way this year. They got 7. Stay tuned for next year. Maybe that means next year they'll move up and be at that number one spot. But my kind of alternate, I've seen some takes of like, oh, this draft's not that good. I think this draft matters a great deal for this franchise. The idea that, like, let's just dismiss an entire draft where there's 2 lottery picks. Yeah, maybe the talent isn't that high. Reed Shepard's been comped from Peyton Pritchard to, you know, top of the floor. What could he be, a Steph Curry? Like, I've seen it all over the place with a lot of these players. But this front office, most of what they get credited for is talent evaluation. How massive is this draft in your mind, given where Portland currently is?
It's kind of the nature of linear time, but this is the most important couple days that the franchise has had in the last 2 years, right? Like, this is bigger. Once you choose this direction to go young and to rebuild, you have to hit the draft or you're stuck in the mud. And they chose the mud, right? They steered the ship right into the damn mud. And so to get out of it, you have to get the draft right. And if they don't get one of these next 2 drafts right, someone else is going to be making picks. I mean, that's just how it ends. Like, I mean, that there's, you just, you don't get a bunch of opportunities to get it wrong. They have to come away from this draft with an NBA starter, which is probably pretty hard to do, right? But that's the nature of it.
I think in a way, too, I'm going to interrupt you there, Dirk, but like, I just want to add, it's interesting to see Blazer Twitter, and I peruse it sometimes, right? It's interesting, Mike, to me that like, both in one hand, Joe and Schmitz, man, they know. They have an eye for talent. They know. And then the other hand, it's the same people like, well, you know, not a very good draft. I think they can be okay. And it's like, no, that's not how this works. If that is indeed what they are best at, this is the kind of draft where I think they may have an advantage over other teams if indeed those opinions are right, that their eye for talent is maybe better than a lot of others.
Yeah, I mean, you can't get credit for being good at something that you do at about league average, right? You have to be above average at it. You have to hit it. You have to hit it at a higher rate than other teams. I don't know that we know if the Blazers are particularly good at drafting yet with this regime. I think people like their draft picks, but there's a lot of uncertainty of kind of what they have become. This year is huge for us finding out kind of the real truth about the first 2 draft picks, and they have to get this right. If you go into this draft with 2 picks in the top 15 and you come away with 2 duds, like I said, someone else is going to be making picks in the future.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're talking with Mike Richmond, our good buddy, at Mike G. Rich, the homie Mike Richmond. On Twitter, go give him a follow. Locked On Blazers podcast daily, talking about your Portland Trail Blazers. And I'm sure he's going to be busy tonight recapping whatever the Blazers do. A quick non-draft note, Mike. I'm just curious your thoughts. There seems to be more and more smoke out there about the Jeremy Grant potential trade. And yeah, maybe Dallas wants him. Maybe the Lakers want him. Is there an expectation you think of a lot of action in the short term? Is this just random speculation from people who I don't really know? How do we feel about the trade front and what else Portland could potentially be cooking up outside of 7-14 tonight?
I mean, they, at some point over the next, I guess free agency starts like Sunday, so 5 days, some point over the next couple of weeks, like, you know, five or 10 days, they got to trade some of their veteran players. Their roster's full. They got 11 guaranteed contracts. They got three guys under non-guaranteed deals. Two of those are Timani Kamara and Jabari Walker. So you kind of think that they have 13 roster spots spoken for heading into a draft where they have four draft picks. That's 17 players. You can only carry 15. Obviously, some of those guys can be two-way deals, but they're not going to run it back. I mean, I say that, I hope not. If they run it back, I'm going to lose my mind. But they have to trade some of the vets. Malcolm Brogdon makes the most sense to trade. They should have traded him at the trade deadline. Whether they were unwilling or unable to do so, they find themselves this summer absolutely having to trade him as he heads into a contract year. And then you explore. You have the conversations about Anthony Simons and Jeremy Grant because it's the responsible thing to do. I don't think there's necessarily urgency to trade either of those two, but at some point there might be. And so finding out what the market is now is the job. And if a good deal comes up, you trade both of them and don't hesitate.
You kind of became dirt there for a quick second on a couple of those
thoughts.
This
is why Mike is the homie. He's the best out there, dude. He wolfs Zach Edey, and he's speaking common sense solutions to our problems.
He woofed him at 7. He didn't woof him entirely as a career
34, no woof. 7-14, yeah, okay. Woof.
I want to ask you of your thoughts on, you know, maybe a guy or two in this draft, but I want to kind of follow up there. How do you view Rob Williams' trade market, or is there a market for him, or how do you think they're evaluating Rob Williams? Because he's a weird prospect or player in the sense of, we know he's good, he just never stays healthy, and he's coming back from his injury last year. How do you view Rob Williams as a trade asset?
I can't imagine that he has a bunch of positive value. You know, he's played 41 games over the last two seasons, played 35 for Boston and 6 for the Portland Trailblazers. That's half a season out of the 162 possible games. He played 41 of them. He spent a lot of time dealing with left knee issues. This most recent surgery is on his right knee. It's just like, when he plays, Rob Williams is really good. Is a team going to bet on him and his availability? I think the Blazers can't really make decisions like with the idea that Rob Williams is going to be a big part of the present. If another team, like Houston was reportedly interested in him at one point last year, if another team has real interest and you get real positive value back, In a heartbeat, you let Rob Williams become another team's experiment.
I know you're self-deprecating, and we're not general managers ourselves or work for teams or have the eye of a scout, but I think some of this stuff, too, is also a crapshoot, right? Like, watch teams evaluate superstar players in the draft, and they miss all the time. You and I both knew Anthony Bennett wasn't going to be good. Somehow people getting paid by the Cleveland Cavaliers thought, no, he's the best player in this draft. They get it wrong, too. Is there a player? Are there two players? Like, where is Mike Richmond for the highlights or the clips or the games that you watched this year? For me, it's Dalton Knecht. Ideally, I think if Knecht is there at 7.
Wait. Your two favorite players in this draft are Dalton Knecht and Zach Edey?
Sounds about right.
How old are you?
I'm currently 37, but I sometimes feel like I'm 47. Zach Edey is not my favorite player. That's you're misinterpreting the argument here.
Dalton Knecht and Zach Edey. What radio show is this?
It's this old timey AM radio.
It's the Gene Cady show.
Coming up next, we read the box score from the Mariners game yesterday.
Welcome to Boiler Basketball, Zach Edey.
What you need is a 4-year college player that had strong coaching from good mentors. That's how you need to excel in the league.
Okay, all right. Well, I digress.
getting cooked right now.
I love Dalton Knecht at 7, but I like a lot of other players. Is there one that stands out for you, though, in all seriousness? Is there one player, or there are a couple for you that, like, if they hit this, you know, I think it's a pretty good pick given the circumstances of the draft and being at seven.
Sure. My favorite wing that's like likely to be there or is unlikely to be there, but I really like is Stephon Castle. I think he's 6'6", can handle the ball and pass and really defend. The thing he doesn't do is shoot. Like, he shoots bricks. But give me in the draft.
You fit right in.
Give me in the draft someone who checks all of the other boxes and just needs to go shoot standstill jumpers in the gym to get better. I would love someone who does the sort of intangible winning things and has a variety of skills, particularly the passing feel and the defense. And then say, hopefully this person morphs into a shooter. Stephon Castle's not going to be on the clock at seven. And so it doesn't matter. Other names I like, I don't know what to do with the G League Ignite guys. I think if Matsas Bezelis hits his ceiling, he's going to be really good. I think the number of boxes he has to check to get there is immense. Mm-hmm. Like, he might never be good as a half court offensive player. He might just be like sort of a defender transition guy. That's maybe not an ideal pick at seven. I think Ron Holland has the tools to be an elite role player. I just don't know if he has interest in being an elite role player. Is he someone who wants to score? I'm curious about them. And quite frankly, I'm pretty comfortable with Donovan Clingan being a good NBA player. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty comfortable with him being a good NBA player. I don't know what he's going to do on offense, but he can pass. I think he's going to be a good defensive player. I view him as a relatively safe pick in grand scheme of this draft, relatively safe. Although his overall upside isn't that exciting.
I think what I love about this draft, Dirt, is he named players that Castle I like. I like Castle, but to his point, I don't think he's there. After that, it was just like woof and mutt.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, Let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents the Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague visit with the insiders that are covering the stories you've heard about and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague is poured by Pelican Brewing. Be ready for your next afternoon vacation with Beak Breaker Tropical. Pelican Brewing, born at the beach.
All right, Daily Ticker time, brought to you on the fan, as always, by Pelican Brewing Company. Visit PelicanBrewing.com for more details on locations, events, award-winning beers, independently brewed since 1996. Pelican Brewing, born at the beach. We're still yelling at each other about Zach Edey. That's the beauty of NBA Draft Day. Can he or can he not be Rick Smits is the new question that is being asked.
Hey, Dirk, can you touch my forehead? I think I've got Edey fever.
You got Edey fever over there?
I got a case of Edey fever.
I hate when you two dumbasses team up on a bad idea to try and piss me off, because you know it gets me going, and I know exactly what you're doing right now.
Banging you with Edey.
And I'm not taking the bait anymore. That 7'5" guy doesn't come anywhere near my NBA team. I'm happy. Let's talk to Mike Richmond, the host of the Locked On Blazers daily podcast about the Portland Trail Blazers. Yes, he does one every single day. He's the hardest working man in media, because that's not an easy thing to do. At Mike G. Rich on Twitter. Go give him a follow. Mike Richmond, Zach Edey to the Blazers at number 7 overall gets what reaction from you?
Woof.
He's a dog. That's why he said wolf.
I bet Zach Edey will be a totally reasonable NBA player in the right situations, and that will also be his ceiling, is that he'll be a reasonable NBA player in the right situations.
Perfect. You didn't need to say wolf.
Absolutely,
that did not help.
Perfect way to start this segment. I love it. How you feeling, Richmond? We're going in. We're a couple hours away. There's so much excitement.
A couple hours.
A lot of pessimism. I know it's early in the morning.
12 hours away.
I feel like I've already been awake for 12 hours.
I have a full work day ahead of me before the draft starts. So yeah, in any case, it's really close.
He's at a car shop right now, like doing this hit.
Oh, is he really?
Yeah, he's getting his car worked
on.
Let's
go. We got to get things done before the draft. How we feeling, Richmond? Are we excited? Is there a nervous energy? Are they going to screw this up? What's the feeling over there at Locked On Blazers?
I think it's pretty exciting just because it's so unknown. I feel like most drafts, you're like, well, you know, these are the three guys in their range, and they'll end up with one of these three guys, and here are my thoughts on them, and all that. But this is so wide open. Like, they could really, there's probably, you know, there's not maybe 10 names, but it's a really, really wide swath they could choose from, and they could pretty much go any direction other than maybe point guard. I think it's pretty fun. I think the uncertainty makes some people anxious, but I, from my perspective, I think it's pretty exciting.
I don't think it's much of a hot take to say this. I know a lot of people have crapped on this draft, and you know their lottery odds not go their way this year. They got 7. Stay tuned for next year. Maybe that means next year they'll move up and be at that number one spot. But my kind of alternate, I've seen some takes of like, oh, this draft's not that good. I think this draft matters a great deal for this franchise. The idea that, like, let's just dismiss an entire draft where there's 2 lottery picks. Yeah, maybe the talent isn't that high. Reed Shepard's been comped from Peyton Pritchard to, you know, top of the floor. What could he be, a Steph Curry? Like, I've seen it all over the place with a lot of these players. But this front office, most of what they get credited for is talent evaluation. How massive is this draft in your mind, given where Portland currently is?
It's kind of the nature of linear time, but this is the most important couple days that the franchise has had in the last 2 years, right? Like, this is bigger. Once you choose this direction with to go young and to rebuild, you have to hit the draft or you're stuck in the mud. And if you're, and they chose the mud, right? They steered the ship right into the damn mud. And so you, to get out of it, you have to get the draft right. And if they don't get one of these next 2 drafts right, someone else is going to be making picks. I mean, that's just how it ends. Like, I mean, that there's, you just, you don't get a bunch of opportunities to get it wrong. They have to come away from this draft with an NBA starter, which is probably pretty hard to do, right? But that's the nature of it.
I think in a way too, I'm going to interrupt you there, Dirk, but like, I just want to add, it's interesting to see Blazer Twitter, and I peruse it sometimes, right? It's interesting, Mike, to me that like, both in one hand, Joe and Schmitz, man, they know. They have an eye for talent. They know. And then the other hand, it's the same people like, well, you know, not a very good draft. I think they can be okay. And it's like, no, that's not how this works. If that is indeed what they are best at, this is the kind of draft where I think they may have an advantage over other teams if indeed those opinions are right, that their eye for talent is maybe better than a lot of others.
Yeah, I mean, you can't get credit for being good at something that you do at about league average, right? You have to be above average at it. You have to hit it. You have to hit it at a higher rate than other teams. I don't know that we know if the Blazers are particularly good at drafting yet with this regime. I think people like their draft picks, but it is a lot of uncertainty of kind of what they have become. This year is huge for us finding out kind of the real truth about the first two draft picks, and they have to get this right. If you go into this draft with two picks in the top 15 and you come away with two duds, like I said, someone else is going to be making picks in the future.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're talking with Mike Richmond, our good buddy, at Mike G. Rich, the homie Mike Richmond. On Twitter, go give him a follow. Locked On Blazers podcast daily, talking about your Portland Trail Blazers. And I'm sure he's going to be busy tonight recapping whatever the Blazers do. A quick non-draft note, Mike. I'm just curious your thoughts. There seems to be more and more smoke out there about the Jerami Grant potential trade. And yeah, maybe Dallas wants him. Maybe the Lakers want him. Is there an expectation you think of a lot of action in the short term? Is this just random speculation from people who I don't really know? How do we feel about the trade front and what else Portland could potentially be cooking up outside of 7-14 tonight?
I mean, they, at some point over the next, I guess free agency starts like Sunday, so 5 days, some point over the next couple of weeks, like, you know, five or 10 days, they got to trade some of their veteran players. Their roster's full. They got 11 guaranteed contracts. They got three guys under non-guaranteed deals. Two of those are Timani Kamara and Jabari Walker. So you kind of think that they have 13 roster spots spoken for heading into a draft where they have four draft picks. That's 17 players. You can only carry 15. Obviously, some of those guys can be two-way deals, but they're not going to run it back. I mean, I say that, I hope not. If they run it back, I'm going to lose my mind. But they have to trade some of the vets. Malcolm Brogdon makes the most sense to trade. They should have traded him at the trade deadline. Whether they were unwilling or unable to do so, they find themselves this summer absolutely having to trade him as he heads into a contract year. And then you explore. You have the conversations about Anthony Simons and Jerami Grant because it's the responsible thing to do. I don't think there's necessarily urgency to trade either of those two, but at some point there might be. And so finding out what the market is now is the job. And if a good deal comes up, you trade both of them and don't hesitate.
You kind of became dirt there for a quick second on a couple of those
thoughts.
This is
why Mike is the homie. He's the best out there, dude. He wolfs Zach Edey, and he's speaking he's speaking common sense solutions to our problems.
He woofed him at 7. He didn't woof him entirely as a career
34,
player.
No woof. 7-14, yeah, okay. Woof.
I want to ask you of your thoughts on, you know, maybe a guy or two in this draft, but I want to kind of follow up there. How do you view Rob Williams' trade market, or is there a market for him, or how do you think they're evaluating Rob Williams? Because he's a weird prospect or player in the sense of we know he's good, he just never stays healthy, and he's coming back from his injury last year. How do you view Rob Williams as a trade asset?
I can't imagine that he has a bunch of positive value. You know, he's played 41 games over the last two seasons, played 35 for Boston and 6 for the Portland Trailblazers. That's half a season out of 162 possible games. He played 41 of them. He spent a lot of time dealing with left knee issues. This most recent surgery is on his right knee. It's just like when he plays, Rob Williams is really good. Is a team going to bet on him and his availability? I think the Blazers can't really make decisions like with the idea that Rob Williams is going to be a big part of the present. If another team like Houston was reportedly interested in him at one point last year, if another team has real interest and you get real positive value back, In a heartbeat, you let Rob Williams become another team's experiment.
I know you're self-deprecating, and we're not general managers ourselves or work for teams or have the eye of a scout, but I think some of this stuff, too, is also a crapshoot, right? Like, watch teams evaluate superstar players in the draft, and they miss all the time. You and I both knew Anthony Bennett wasn't going to be good. Somehow people getting paid by the Cleveland Cavaliers thought, no, he's the best player in this draft. They get it wrong, too. Is there a player? Are there two players? Like, where is Mike Richmond for the highlights or the clips or the games that you watched this year? For me, it's Dalton Knecht. Ideally, I think if Knecht is there at 7.
Wait. Your two favorite players in this draft are Dalton Knecht and Zach Edey?
Sounds about right.
How old are you?
I'm currently 37, but I sometimes feel like I'm 47. Zach Edey is not my favorite player. That's you're misinterpreting the argument here.
Dalton Connect and Zach Edey. What radio show is this?
It's just old timey AM radio.
It's the Gene Cady show.
Coming up next, we read the box score from the Mariners game yesterday.
Welcome to Boiler Basketball, Zach Edey.
What you need is a 4-year college player that had strong coaching from good mentors. That's how you need to excel in the league.
Okay, all right. Well, I digress.
getting cooked right now.
I love Dalton Connect at 7, but I like a lot of other players. Is there one that stands out for you, though, in all series? Is there one player, or there are a couple for you that, like, if they hit this, you know, I think it's a pretty good pick given the circumstances of the draft and being at 7?
Sure. My favorite wing that's, like, likely to be there, or is unlikely to be there, but I really like is Stephon Castle. I think he's 6'6", can handle the ball and pass and really defend. The thing he doesn't do is shoot. Like, he shoots bricks. But give me in the draft.
You fit right in.
Give me in the draft someone who checks all of the other boxes and just needs to go shoot standstill jumpers in the gym to get better. I would love someone who does the sort of intangible winning things and has a variety of skills, particularly the passing feel and the defense. And then say, hopefully this person morphs into a shooter. Stephon Castle's not going to be on the clock at 7. And so it doesn't matter. Other names I like, I don't know what to do with the G League Ignite guys. I think if Matsas Bezelis hits his ceiling, he's going to be really good. I think the number of boxes he has to check to get there is immense. Mm-hmm. Like, he might never be good as a half court offensive player. He might just be like sort of a defender transition guy. That's maybe not an ideal pick at 7. I think Ron Holland has the tools to be an elite role player. I just don't know if he has interest in being an elite role player. Is he someone who wants to score? I'm curious about them. And quite frankly, I'm pretty comfortable with Donovan Clingan being a good NBA player. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty comfortable with him being a good NBA player. I don't know what he's going to do on offense, but he can pass. I think he's going to be a good defensive player. I view him as a relatively safe pick in grand scheme of this draft, relatively safe. Although his overall upside isn't that exciting.
I think what I love about this draft, Dirt, is he named players that Castle I like. I like Castle, but to his point, I don't think he's there. After that, it was just like woof in my mind. Like, oh, Bezelis, awesome.
Well, let me ask you this last one for you, Mike, because the Klingon stuff's there, and he keeps getting mocked to Portland, even though every mock that has him there is like, I don't think he's going to be there at 7, but let's mock him at 7. So it's kind of confusing in the first place. What does that mean for DeAndre Ayton? If let's say Klingon's there at 7, that's the pick that they make.
Or they go Edey at 14.
Or they go Edey at 14. Just what does that mean for DeAndre Ayton, a guy who some in Blazer fandom love because of the second half of the year that he had? Some will always remember him not getting down his icy driveway. How do we feel if they draft a center?
I don't think it means much for DeAndre Ayton's immediate term. Like, I don't think they need to trade him in July if they draft a center, because it's maybe irresponsible to go into an NBA season with like Donovan Clingan, Duop Reeve, and Rob Williams as your center core. But I will say, if you expend a high draft pick on a center in this draft, particularly Clingan or Edey, and particularly Clingan, because I don't know that Edey projects as like a 35 minute a night guy in the league, but maybe I'm wrong and Sprague's right. I think it just means that the long-term, medium-term future of DeAndre Ayton is probably not with the Blazers. He has this year and one other year under contract, and the following year under contract. If they were to take a center at 7, I think it would signal that his days are numbered, although I do believe he would play out the remainder of this season, and they'd figure it out after that.
Interesting. What time are we looking for Locked On tonight? How late are we going to be up recording?
After Jack Ramsey's, of course.
You know, it used to be 4 hours. Like, it used to be 4 hour draft, and it would take forever, and I'd be so tired and like scrambled. I think with 2 days, it starts at 5 o'clock. I might have a podcast up at like 10 p.m. No problem.
Look at that. Okay, things are looking up. Mike G. Rich, fan of the splitting of the days, makes it easier for the podcasting world. At Mike G. Rich on Twitter, go check it out later tonight. He's speaking common sense to the masses, which is exactly what we need more of in this city. At Mike G. Rich, Locked On Blazers. Thanks, buddy. Good luck getting your car fixed, and look forward to hearing what you got to say after round one tonight.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
There you go. Mike G. Rich.
He struggled there for a quick second.
Recovery. Pivot.
Somebody said to our tees, what the hell will the Blazers do tonight? We bring on Mike Richmond. Brad says, pain and disappointment, yeah. Just like marriage.
Sounds about right, you know? It's kind of how it works. This is what we expect, right? Bad things are going to happen tonight because this is what happens to us as fans. I'm gonna throw something at you. Okay. You feel comfortable drafting this guy? This guy? That's next on The Fan.
It's crunch time.
Let's go!
Where Dirt and Sprague crunch the hot topics you want to hear.
What's the pressure?
Don't sit here and act like there's no... We get nervous teeing off in front of a gallery on the 10th hole at Eastmoreland.
Crunch time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. With memberships as low as $9.99 per month. Find your crunch time in Portland, Vancouver, and online at crunch.com.
All right, Crunch Time is brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Memberships as low as $9.99 per month. Find your Crunch Time in Portland, Vancouver, online at crunch.com. All sorts of other NBA mumblings going on, and we'll get to in the final hour of the show as we continue to get ready for the NBA draft tonight. And there is a player out there that has been discussed potentially with Portland. And I had never heard him do an interview before. And then I heard an interview.
Okay.
And I thought, that's what he sounds like. And somebody made a connection, and I want to get your reaction of what you think this voice sounds like and see if you can hit this. Also, see if you can guess which prospect is this. This is likely going to be a lottery pick in the NBA draft tonight.
Okay, so this has been somebody that's been mocked to Portland?
Somebody who has been, we have discussed on this show, I don't know how many times he's been mocked to Portland, but he has been discussed of, would you want them to take this guy or not?
Okay.
Lottery pick.
Okay.
Enjoy.
Outside of basketball, what sport are you the best at?
Soccer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was practicing soccer before I played basketball.
Yeah.
So I was decent at it, but I mean, just I wanted to play basketball, and that is my love.
When you're about to get freaky at night, you think about it.
Is that Zach Edey?
That is not Zach. I actually don't know what Zach Edey sounds like.
That's not Zach Edey.
It is not Zach Edey. Does that voice sound like anything to you? Because the tweet had me laughing for maybe 45 minutes yesterday.
It sounds like Jason Segel's Andre the Giant impersonation.
No, somebody had a tweet saying this prospect sounds like when they mask your voice because they're hiding your identity. Like you're on the run or you're doing one of those blacked out interviews. Of like you're you know revealing things about the company, like what illegal
what
things did your company
you
do?
Soccer. Yeah, I was practicing soccer before
the voice alternator.
Yeah.
No, that is what Nikola Topic sounds like. That is Nikola Topic.
That's an 18-year-old.
That is an 18-year-old.
Crazy.
Where's he from again? What the country?
Serbia.
Is he Serbian?
Serbian. Yeah.
Serbian Nikola Topic. So does that make us more excited about drafting Topic or less excited about drafting Topic?
It kind of makes me think Big Balls Topic is a thing, man. Are you kidding me? You hear that voice?
As an 18-year-old? I'm jealous, dude.
What's he going to be at 30? His voice is probably going to get a little deeper.
I want to see that birth certificate. I want to see that thing. Is somebody with a high-pitched, annoying, nasally voice incredibly jealous of that guy?
He is a weird prospect, too.
Very weird, especially with the torn ACL.
Well, it's not just the torn ACL. They misguided us on that. It's also that he's 6'6 with a 6'5 wingspan.
Yes.
How often do you see a guy that height have a smaller wingspan than his height? That's a big negative. That's a big red flag.
Little arms. What does little arms say about you? I don't know.
T-Rex point guard.
Can't reach. Can't grab rebounds.
Oh, I'm going to get you with my small arms.
I saw that yesterday. And I decided, you know what? Hey, we've discussed Nikola Topic. Will we want that point guard to be drafted? And I thought, that's hilarious. He sounds like that.
I want to go back to Richmond real quick. What I loved about that is we can joke about Zach Edey. I actually do think he'll be a good NBA player. I don't want him at 7. What I love is that Richmond made fun of me for that, and then Richmond proceeded to name like 3 players I really don't want.
That's the beauty of this draft.
And that is the fun part of this draft.
Who the hell knows?
I'm going to make fun of this guy. Why rattle off 3 names that he doesn't like?
This guy can't shoot, and this guy's a half-court player, and this guy's, you know, it's just everybody has their faults and nobody knows.
But he kind of outlined the red flags of players I don't like, but still said he liked them.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if he can play in half court. I don't know. That's kind of important. I don't think he can ever shoot. We don't have any shooting on this team.
Are we brewing a Jack Ramsey's v. Lockdown Blazers beef right now? Are we we got pods beefing right now?
No, I actually have to give Mike a bobblehead.
Oh, do you really?
Yeah, I bought a bobblehead at Tacoma Goodwill, and he wants it really bad.
What is it a bobblehead of?
Roy Williams.
Yeah.
It was $3.
He's a UNC guy, you know?
I know. Well, I actually texted to him, yeah. And he was like, dude.
I need that.
He said, let me know how much postage is. I'll Venmo you. So I'm going to ask you for a $3 Venmo charge.
I'll pay for the shipping. So Nikola Topic sounds like he's 47 years old, and his identity is being hidden because he's on the run from law enforcement. We'll see where he ends up going tonight in the NBA draft. We got a lot to get to in the final hour. Status story coming up at 8:15. Final thoughts on the Blazers draft. Yours are welcome in the Vancouver Ford text line, 503-864-6326. We found an absolute douchebag in sports. It's a loaded final hour. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
It's crunch time.
Let's go!
Where Dirt and Sprague crunch the hot topics you want to hear.
What's the pressure?
Don't sit here and act like there's no... We get nervous teeing off in front of a gallery on the 10th hole at Eastmoreland.
Crunch time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness, with memberships as low as $9.99 per month. Find your crunch time in Portland, Vancouver, and online at crunch.com.
All right, Crunch Time is brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Memberships as low as $9.99 per month. Find your Crunch Time in Portland, Vancouver, online at crunch.com. All sorts of other NBA mumblings going on, and we'll get to in the final hour of the show as we continue to get ready for the NBA draft tonight. And there is a player out there that has been discussed potentially with Portland. And I had never heard him do an interview before. And then I heard an interview.
Okay.
And I thought, that's what he sounds like. And somebody made a connection, and I want to get your reaction of what you think this voice sounds like and see if you can hit this. Also, see if you can guess which prospect is this. This is likely going to be a lottery pick in the NBA draft tonight.
Okay, so this has been somebody that's been mocked to Portland?
Somebody who has been, we have discussed on this show, I don't know how many times he's been mocked to Portland, but he has been discussed of, would you want them to take this guy or not?
Okay.
Lottery pick.
Okay.
Enjoy.
Outside of basketball, what sport are you the best at?
Soccer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was practicing soccer before I played basketball.
Yeah.
So I was decent at it, but I mean, just I wanted to play basketball, and that is my love.
When you're about to get freaky at night, you think about it.
Is that Zach Edey?
That is not Zach. I actually don't know what Zach Edey sounds like.
That's not Zach Edey.
It is not Zach Edey. Does that voice sound like anything to you? Because the tweet had me laughing for maybe 45 minutes yesterday.
It sounds like Jason Segel's Andre the Giant impersonation.
Anybody want a peanut?
Anybody want a peanut? No, somebody had a tweet saying this prospect sounds like when they mask your voice because they're hiding your identity. Like you're on the run or you're doing one of those blacked out interviews of like you're revealing things about the company, like what illegal things did your company do?
Soccer. Yeah, I was practicing soccer before
the voice alternator.
Yeah.
No, that is what Nikola Topic sounds like. That is Nikola Topic.
That's an 18-year-old.
That is an 18-year-old.
Crazy.
Where's he from again? What the
country? Serbia.
Is he Serbian?
Serbian. Yeah.
Serbian Nikola Topic. So does that make us more excited about drafting Topic or less excited about drafting Topic?
It kind of makes me think Big Balls Topic is a thing, man. Are you kidding me? You hear that voice?
As an 18-year-old? I'm jealous, dude.
What's he going to be at 30? His voice is probably going to get a little deeper.
I want to see that birth certificate. I want to see that thing. Is somebody with a high-pitched, annoying, nasally voice incredibly jealous of that guy?
He is a weird prospect, too.
Very weird, especially with the torn ACL.
Well, it's not just the torn ACL. They misguided us on that. It's also that he's 6'6 with a 6'5 wingspan.
Yes.
How often do you see a guy that height have a smaller wingspan than his height? That's a big negative. That's a big red flag.
Little arms. What does little arms say about
you?
I don't know.
T-Rex point guard.
Can't reach. Can't grab rebounds.
Oh, I'm going to get you with my small arms.
I saw that yesterday. And I decided, you know what? Hey, we've discussed Nikola Topic. Will we want that point guard to be drafted? And I thought, that's hilarious. He sounds like that.
I want to go back to Richmond real quick. What I loved about that is we can joke about Zach Edey. I actually do think he'll be a good NBA player. I don't want him at 7. what I love is that Richmond made fun of me for that, and then Richmond proceeded to name like three players I really don't want.
That's the beauty of this draft.
And that is the fun part of this draft.
Who the hell knows?
I'm going to make fun of this guy. Why rattle off three names that he doesn't like?
This guy can't shoot, and this guy's a half-court player, and this guy's, you know, it's just everybody has their faults and nobody knows.
But he kind of outlined the red flags of players I don't like, but still said he liked them. Yeah. You know, I don't know if he can play in half court. I don't know. That's kind of important. I don't think he can ever shoot. We don't have any shooting on this team.
Are we brewing a Jack Ramsey's v. Locked On Blazers beef right now? We got pods beefing right now?
No, I actually have to give Mike a bobblehead.
Oh, do you really?
Yeah, I bought a bobblehead at Tacoma Goodwill, and he wants it really bad.
What is it a bobblehead of?
Roy Williams.
Yeah.
It was $3.
He's a UNC guy, you know?
I know. Well, I actually texted to him, and he was like, dude,
I need that.
He said, let me know how much postage is, I'll Venmo you. So I'm going to ask you for a $3 Venmo charge.
I'll pay for the shipping. So Nikola Topic sounds like he's 47 years old, and his identity is being hidden because he's on the run from law enforcement. We'll see where he ends up going tonight in the NBA draft. We got a lot to get to in the final hour. Status story coming up at 8:15. Final thoughts on the Blazers draft. Yours are welcome at the Vancouver Ford text line 503-864-6326. We found an absolute douchebag in sports. It's a loaded final hour. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games and a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.